Welcome to Taking the Rams by the Horns, a podcast that takes current affairs out of current affairs. This is an award-winning podcast in partnership with Sowetan. I'm your host, Rams Mabote. Thank you very much for subscribing into this content. And if you haven't yet, please press the button and share, tell them about it. So, this past weekend, a big football match happened, which for me put to bed once again the lie that the Soweto Derby is dead. That is an exaggeration of serious note that needs to be scoffed at, because as you saw, that it remains one of the biggest calendar days in the continent, not only in this country. But we're not here to talk about that. My guest is somebody whose guest I am every week elsewhere, and I'll talk about it. But he's been a guest on this show before it was visual. So he's been a guest when we had an audio podcast. And finally, you get to see his face on this podcast. He's Barimba to Kordas. At least he's born as that. But to you and I, he's BBK. Very respected, highly glorified and decorated sport journalist, podcaster, and he is also head of the Sunday Times Sports Department. They normally call them sports editor. He's also host of Power FM Sports Extra on Power FM every Friday evening. Matala.
Matala.
This is the only time I could even bestow an honorary doctorate, but I stop short of that.
You know, when you say all these things, Rams, you see how black I am, then you take me to the temptation of becoming purple. But I can't blush because I'm going to turn purple. Thank you very much for once again allowing me to have an honor of having a conversation with you on this wonderful podcast. Matala, black and proud, no plans of changing anytime soon. Are you great?
I'm dark and lovely. Thank you for coming in, Matala.
No, wonderful. Thank you for the
invite. Feels like I saw you yesterday. Actually, I did. I see you all the time.
You think you want to move into my house?
As I said, Matala, this is not about the game on the pitch.
Right.
And, you know, especially because of my allegiance elsewhere, people will think I'm using this space to spend time on the derby. That's not the point. Mm-hmm. But the point is two things for me. Again, and I know I have had this conversation with you, even on this podcast. Have we proved once again that this is a big match that just happened over the weekend?
Once more, Ramse, thank you very much, man. Pega Matala, you say in your intro that it proved once again that the fact that it is dead is an exaggeration. Allow me to add that the claim that the derby is dead is an exaggeration of biblical proportions. Because I understand and I get where it comes from. Yeah. It comes from a time where, and it is a fact, there was a period where when these two big teams of either side of the railway line in Orlando, in Soweto, in South Africa, in Southern Africa, Africa, a part that is part of the world, there came a time when they played.
Yeah.
It was like, watching paint dry was more exciting.
Yes.
Going to extract your teeth at the dentist was more exciting.
Yeah.
Because it was like dull draws. If it's not nil-nil, it's 1-1, because there was a heavy concentration from those who were in charge in either dugout of playing not to lose,
yeah,
which then meant that they went into the match moving from a defensive mindset. But then there have been times where also the football has come to life. And the build-up to this one, what we were doing on the Betway Premiership show, with Mpo as well as Bright and Sky, we went down memory lane, and mm-hmm. and then they asked Abasha Nabam, you know, which one is your best memory of the derby? Everyone came up with their own. I could have easily gone back because it's in Sekazi. So football did not start in 96-97 with the PSL. We could have gone back to the 70s, 80s, but I kept it here.
Yeah.
I kept it here on the return of a certain Benny McCarthy, who had left South Africa not having played in the PSL.
Ever.
Ever.
Yeah.
So when news break that he's coming back home, clearly conversation centers around, is he going to go to Sundowns? Is he going to go to Pirates? Is he going to go to Chiefs? Lo and behold, we get an invite, and the chairman of Orlando Pirates unveils Benny McCarthy as a Pirates player. It happens weeks leading up to the Soweto Derby.
Yeah.
And when he plays his first Soweto Derby, the one thing that's been missing in his impressive catalogue of his career, he doesn't score one, he scores two, and helps Pirates win 3-2,
yeah.
Which was the first time that the Soweto Derby got five goals in a long time.
In a very, very long time.
At the back of this dull draw, what. Yeah. So to see what happened on Saturday gave credence again to say this definitely is one of the biggest matches, not in South Africa, not in Kosafa region or Southern Africa, not in the continent, but one of the best in the world. And you know something?
Yeah.
This was also seen by people in Germany, live in the Bundesliga.
Wow.
And at the same weekend that the biggest derby in Germany,
Bayern, right? and
Borussia.
Yeah. So, and you see, Matala, again, I'm not too concerned about the result on the pitch. Gloating rights, what do they call them?
Yeah, no, gloating, you are right.
Yeah,
breaking rights.
Breaking rights for the winners, blah, blah, blah. That's not the point. Mm. The point for me is that on the day that the tickets were opened for sale,
yeah,
it took 2 hours for this to be sold out.
Yeah.
And that for me is what I keep on going back to say. People will say all they like about, you know, we're tired of Chiefs and Pirates.
Yeah.
But the hordes, the thousands, the millions of fans wait for that moment to go into that arena, to go into the stadium,
to the calabash,
to go and watch. Yeah. I always call every football stadium arena, but I understand.
I know where it comes from. And we see you a lot waving your flag outside the
arena. No, I've always called football stadiums arenas.
We can call them cathedrals.
But that for me was the punctuation again that this thing will not die anytime soon.
Tell you what, Matala, if you thought that was impressive, tickets being sold out in 2 hours, it was 1 hour late. There have been times where it's gone in 1 hour.
In 1 hour.
Right? It tells you about the pulling power of this brand, of this game, of South African football. It tells you about South African football's fans' affinity and affection and passion for the game of football. But what was even more impressive about this one is that every time you see the Soweto Derby being played, you're going to have challenges with navigating traffic, getting to the stadium. You're going to have challenges with people deciding to go to Kwamamyangchaza first before they come to the game. Well, we are black people. On Saturdays, we attend funerals, we attend weddings, there are parties and all these things. But in the end, there's a thing about time. And when we say 3:30, let it not be 2:15.
Yeah.
Let it be at least 25 past that we are all there. It impressed me greatly. I was pleasantly surprised on Saturday. For the first time in a long while, I actually went out to watch the game. I took the message on the date, you know. So
you abandoned the paper?
It's not...
That's deadline time.
It's not the dereliction of duty. It's called working smart.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Okay.
The only thing that was remaining was the back page for the live stuff.
Ah, I see.
You know, including the golf that you went to. You abandoned the derby for the golf. Anyway, when I stepped in, I think it was 5 minutes before kickoff, when I stepped out to look, you know, there are times where the scoreboard tells you match delayed, kickoff at 2:15 because people are still out. When I looked around, I did the 360 ISO, all the orange seats were taken.
We're filled up.
People were there.
Yeah.
When the referee blew the kickoff, everybody was on their seats, and the carnival atmosphere, the uniquely South African thing of the blend of gold and black amongst the black and white, the singing, everything was top-notch. And then the football on the pitch also gave, I mean, 3 goals at a time when we have the kind of race, the title race that we have.
It's
sort of like added the spark into the whole thing, especially in the context of what had happened when the two teams that are in this race played at FNB, Sundowns and Pirates, with the Pirates not winning. Sorry, Rams.
At around this time last year, we had this conversation on this platform. It was audio. And I said, or at least the tone was that we, for a long time, we're going to have a race between at least two teams.
Yeah.
There's always been one.
Yes.
So it is not going to be the same as the other seven seasons.
Mm-hmm.
Except it didn't end that way, right?
There was hope. But I always say, when people tell me about hope, I refer them to the Shawshank Redemption.
Yes.
What Virgil, Morgan Freeman's character says about hope. So there were, we had hope last season that you've seen Pirates imagine or attempting to pull the rug from under the feet of this marauding Meleolo train from Mamelodi, who've sort of like decided to go to, this thing is ours.
Mm.
If you want it, you're going to have to come and take it. Peter Mosimane does it five times. And that time, a certain Kevin Hunt claims it with Piet Verswaerts. And Peter says, no, I know exactly where it is. It's down the M1. And we're coming to get it.
Yeah.
And true to form, he came and claimed it. So he leaves to go and do amazing things up north with Al Ahly. And then Rulani Mangoba co-coach combination with Mangoba with the final say, take this thing, and they continue. And then there is a shuffling of the deck after a certain Relebohile Mofokeng. Or before him, there was a certain Monapule Saleng, who did things in a stadium in an MTN8. And then the deck is reshuffled, and then Rulani then takes over. But he still wins this league.
Yeah.
And he wins this league also Ampere and Invincible. This is Sundowns putting their dominance into it. And as Etienne Jose comes, he tries to push and push, but the gap and the gulf is too big. Last season, we get to a point where there is a 7 matches between the two, same number of points, until Stellenbosch happened at your arena. I still see this. The ball is lost in the midfield. Makaula tries to win it. He doesn't. It falls for Ashley Cupido.
Yeah.
Cupido plays a diagonal. As he plays that diagonal, CBC had gone up to try and cover because Makaula was not able to win the ball after Tito had lost the ball. And he tries to play an offside. And when he looks, Sisane has stayed behind, which made Devon Titus onside. And that Cupido ball was so accurate. It's Devil Titus. That pass was so accurate. It fell straight on his feet. One touch. Sipo Chen tries to close the gap on the near pole. And Titus scores a goal similar to what he scored against Kaizer Chiefs.
Yeah.
He places it there. A goal similar to what Ashwin Apoli scored against
Kaizer Chiefs. Just over the weekend.
Same
right?
position. Yeah. Almost replica. That was when the wheels started to come off for Pirates' challenge for the title. Fast forward to this season. You are over the halfway mark, which is more than 7 games.
Yeah.
Which is like 7 games more than what you had the season previous. And you seeing a Sundowns Pirates seesaw. What's in this class? It is that kind of thing. That kind of thing, having seen Pirates taking charge, going to the Sundowns game. They win that game, they stretch their lead to 9
points. 9 points, right? Even though Sundowns would have had a game in hand.
Still, but we're talking about that scenario at that time.
Yeah, because points are points, right? They have nothing to do with
the reason Pirates were not able to close the gap with Sundowns is that they've had those gaming points in the past 3 seasons with Jose. And, like you say, points in the hand are not, I mean, games in hand are not points in the game.
Yeah.
But what they've done differently this time is that they were able to use those games in hand well until they were not able to beat Skukune, that draw, and then going to play Sundowns, and Sundowns take it back to what we see now.
Yes.
That game, if you want to win the league, you know this. You love football, even supporting football for donkey's years. It's just that you support some crazy team called Chelsea, but that's beside the point. When you want to win the league, you beat your competitor, your main challenger.
Yeah.
And Pirates did not pass the test.
Yes.
So, coming to Chiefs, coming on the back of having been knocked out of the Nedbank Cup as well by Castric Stars, a National First Division team, having watched and laughed at Sundowns losing to
TS Galaxy,
having laughed the week before when Kaizer Chiefs failed to defend their title at the first angle at the last 32, losing to Stellenbosch. So this was a very important match for Pirates to bounce back. boy, did they bounce back. A bounce back because for the first time in a long time, they had that partnership which has always worked out for them, at least in the midfield. This young boy from Kwamashu, Mfana lo akambathi.
Unama talent angaphili.
Naleli kahla leli bathu bani kehla. When Pirates signed Makaula, you guys were busy. Why?
Except me. I defended that acquisition.
They are not seeing us. I know that you are lying. But anyway, I know you did, Badala, you did. You wrote a very long post about it, why you thought it made sense. Yeah. But the fact of the matter here is that that partnership was able to not allow Kaizer Chiefs to breathe. You know, I don't want to say this, but you know the thing of putting your knee on the neck? Mm-hmm. It was kind of that, you know. And then I thought Mahlatsi Mphahlele did a beautiful intro on that Sunday Times back page lead, which was headlined Outlast, with an exclamation mark, saying that Orlando Pirates put their hand on the neck of Kaizer Chiefs, mm-hmm. and slowly they squeezed the bread, and the Corona certified Chiefs dead at exactly 6 o'clock. That was the intro by Mahlatsi Mphahlele. It's not an exaggeration. It captured exactly what happened. It told you about the gap that is there. While Pirates is closing this gap between them and Sundowns chasing this thing, it highlighted the gap that is there between these two.
And on that point, because again, I don't want us to focus on what happened on the field on Saturday or any other field for that matter. But that result, is this the beginning of the end of a three-horse race?
Yes and no.
Okay.
Yes, because despite their challenges, I highlighted, am I quoting myself? This is bad.
Yes, quote yourself.
I highlighted on the BBK and Black column 2 weeks back that Kaizer Chiefs continue to be confronted by a twin challenge of a coaching instability when you look at the high rotation of coaches that has happened, which is very uncommon of Kaizer Chiefs.
Right. Over the years, this was the one team that would keep coaches forever.
Three years, you knew it.
Yeah.
But the other challenge being, yes, players are being signed, but I always say to my children, guys, there are two words beginning with a Q and ending with a Y. They may sound almost the same, but they mean completely different things as well. There's a quality and then there's quantity, you know. When you look at what they do, Koklu or Kop, in terms of the signings, it's normally the best, the cream of the crop in the country, mm-hmm. and then they go and fish because their pockets allow them to cast their nets as wide as South America, so they bring them. There's been hits and misses there, but there's mostly hits. And when you look at what they do on the other side of the railway in Soweto, in Orlando, they've moved away from... Pirates in the past used to sign, mm-hmm. and I thought they were signing numbers just because this one is available and they think that this one is at a great season. But at least in Jose's second season, Pirate moved to signing what they needed, not what was available. And you saw the improvements in the squad. Pirates also went to look at what was happening in their academy.
Right. In their own backyard.
I don't have to look to mention the names. You know them better than me. You saw, if there's one thing that you must give Jose credit for, despite failing to win the league in his 3 years there, that Alex Ferguson-ish to look there, what do we have in the garden and bring it up. So this challenge that Chiefs has is what is, I think, curtailing them from being able to catch up with the two. And be that as it may, this season they've done better than the past.
Without a doubt, right?
The numbers are there.
Yeah, they show. You can't lie.
Kaizer Chiefs creates a lot of chances in 90 minutes.
Yeah.
I think when you look at the charts, you will see they rank right up there. They don't convert.
Mm.
They don't convert. And another thing that Kaizer Chiefs have done beautifully this season, they did not concede as much as they did when their defense was competing with Swiss cheese in terms of the holes that they had in them.
And so you are a football expert. I'm a football fan, right?
I don't know about experts, but yeah.
Hey, man, stop. Forget about this modesty. It's an overrated thing. It's a completely overrated thing. But up until the Pirates Chiefs game, in probably the last 10 games of Kaizer Chiefs, they had more opportunities at goal against every team they played. They created more chances. They conceded less. This was the only game where they created lesser chances. So they've been playing amazing football, but not converting enough goals. And sometimes I feel sorry for their own fans for not seeing that. Because, of course, we all want victories and we get frustrated. But even the games against Dallas, it was Chiefs that had more chances, right?
So, because you say I'm an expert, here's the thing. This 3-0 defeat was Chiefs' first heaviest defeat to Orlando Pirates in 25 years. Against Stellis, Dupree scores that.
The game is different. Different game altogether.
Right?
Yeah.
And I do not know, again, when you go back to the Cup game, the Nedbank Cup, not this season, the one that they went on to win.
Yes.
Dupree had a similar miss against Dallas. Mm-hmm. And then, because people like conspiracies, like, it's not that. You are quite right. Why are you then not convinced? Excuse me. So you signed Da Silva. He's showing to be some silver lining in their attack, right?
Only you.
You've got a chislet. Another thing, they also had the challenge of injuries, Shane, Kaizer Chiefs, like seriously so. Yeah. They've hardly had a period where all their players are available and they can select their best from everyone that they have on the store. But again, injuries
happen. The goalkeeping department, right? That was so sad for them to lose a guy who's been doing so well right on the eve of the...
He was in hospital, we are told. But he's been able... I mean, their fans went to calling him Mr. Clean Sheets. And he had done that. He's the first goalkeeper to reach double digits in terms of keeping clean sheets this season. 10, which is a great improvement because that has been a challenge.
Yeah.
Which is also
he's
a contrast
reading,
to...
He's been reading the chain, man.
Yeah. Because the thing is, this is another department where Kaizer Chiefs have done very well. Before Kune, there was a Brian Baloyi.
Historically.
There was a Fernandez.
Historically, they've done exceptionally well in that
German
department.
Guy who was a great goalkeeping expert. I'm not saying anything about the current, about the
incumbent. From Gary Bailey's days. I mean,
Peter Ballack,
they've done exceptionally well in the goalkeeping department.
They've always. But you have to look at when you buy so many players, what are you buying? When you say what are you buying, I'm saying you are Kaizer Chiefs, you are not any small fry. I mean, guys, there's nothing. I have the greatest admiration. I've got the greatest admiration of a man called Kaizer Motaung Senior. You know, Rams, you are born, you grew up in apartheid South Africa. You are black. Your great grandfather was condemned into nothingness. You were in a country that experienced 300 years of colonialism and
400 almost.
400, well. Now you're talking 48 years of institutionalized racism where you and I, according to what Fair Vote, are only good enough to be hewers of wood and throwers of water, where you are forced to study Bantu education and all this nonsense. And you get a guy who plays football for Orlando Pirates and goes and plays in North American Football League, Nabopele, back in the day, Franz Beckenbauer and all that, Chomofolos and other illuminaries also went. But he comes back, whatever is going on at Orlando Pirates, has a conversation with his dad to start a club. Dad says, follow your heart, I will support you. 1970, fast forward to 2026, what is Kaizer Chiefs? Kaizer Chiefs is a phenomenal institution in
world football.
One of the
biggest institutions in this continent.
They rank high in the world. I've traveled the world. I'm on my fourth passport. I've seen facilities elsewhere in European countries. There are European teams that do not have what Kaizer Chiefs have. That man, say what you like, that man. So when you look at that legacy, and you look at what has been happening for Kaizer Chiefs, at Kaizer Chiefs, in Kaizer Chiefs, it's heartbreaking. It is heartbreaking because here is a guy who built a legacy. Yeah, Rams, when you first went to Lina Road in Natureno, with your first time you went there. What was it like?
I remember, by the way, but I don't know. This story is a bit
smaller, Nyana.
Just a small thing, you know. Mountain, like, we couldn't really tell what this thing is going to be.
This is
like,
Kaiser, you know, Chief's office, yeah. And we understand Kaiser Mtaung has bought the land.
Yeah, and he's got some dreams, but you couldn't see anything.
Year by year, day by day, week by week, month by month, people were working in that land. That land developed. It's developed to the bloody.
When they
mighty.
Call it a village now, they mean it's a
it
village.
It is proper. Yeah. It is proper. At the top there, where there's a parking lot now, there used to be sheep grazing, and on the other side of the road as well.
Now there are cows. This, but anyway, let's.
No. I'm saying this because I think it's important. You know, in supporting South African football, we tend to look at some of the negative things that happen with the game. There are glorious, beautiful stories that happen, and this Kaiser Chiefs, Kaiser Mtaung story is one of them. We will have another conversation about it.
Where you were going is that, having seen all that, it is heartbreaking to see.
It is heartbreaking because the kind of players that you are buying now are not the kind of players that made Kaiser Chiefs the Cup Kings that they were back in the day. So for you to be able to get back to the top, revisit, you've got the template. You
before
know what
Sundowns,
to be Matanda, done.
Before Mamelodi Sundowns in the last decade, Kaiser Chiefs were the Galacticos of this country, right? They acquired the best players here and elsewhere in the world.
And also, they also took players that were not really stars before they joined Chiefs. And when they joined Chiefs, they became stars, right? Yep. So there's men who have come through.
Yes.
There's men who were doing well elsewhere, but they are not.
Yep.
There are many factors that speak to that. That is a subject of another topic for another day. So here we are sitting with, for the first time, 2025-26 season. It reminds me of 2010-2011. You know why? From the Cape, there's a horse clad in red and white. Not Valentine's, but the colors of Ajax Cape Town.
Yeah.
And from this side here, in the Highveld, in Soweto, it's galloping. I'm not sure if it is a so Fasonke Mpanza on the horse, but it is Orlando Pirates, neck and neck. Orlando Pirates, coached by a man who wore a pink shirt. He came from Dutch.
Yeah, it was very rude.
Very rude.
A lot of opponents.
He gave teams in the PSL a rude awakening.
Exactly.
And his counterpart at Ajax is another fellow Dutchman, Fope de Haan.
Exactly.
Ajax Cape Town. You know the story behind their formation. Pope was dancing me through.
Yeah.
There's a Serrero here. There's a Kamapiliat here. There's a Tulani Tlajwayo there. There's a George Maluleka there. These boys were flying.
Yeah.
It was decided on the last day.
On the very last day.
This is Isaac Chansa. Pirates versus Lamontville Golden Arrows.
Moses Mabhida Stadium.
No.
Orlando. Orlando Stadium. Right?
Yes, the first one, 2010-2011. Yeah. That guy from Zambia hits a blast, one of the best goals scored at Orlando Stadium, assisted Pirates to win. It was still the APSA Premiership. Yes. Everyone was wearing that red shirt, and the sea of red just at the final whistle, pitch invasion. The following year, that one you're talking about, Moses Mabhida, Benny McCarthy.
Benny McCarthy.
Yes. Against Arrows as well. They were on the down.
Almost
travel.
Last kick of the game.
Same.
A free
almost
kick,
similar.
Right? I still remember very
almost
well.
Similar. So it's got the makings of that two-horse race. And
but you're not
long
writing off Kaiser Chiefs. Now I'm asking you this as Commissioner Baloyi. I want a yes or a no answer.
Can I answer you like Sbia Mkhwanazi? You know, Commissioner, Chiefs are playing, I think, Richards Bay.
Yeah.
A team that they were not playing
Richards Bay 2 days ago.
Yeah, a team that they had not beaten before that game. So if they were able to succeed, it means that they are still giving themselves up into going into it. But I think that ultimately you're going to see these two, shall we call it what, Mutsipe versus Khoza?
Yeah. So, Matala, as we gallop to the end of our conversation, far from it again being a conversation about these three top, well taken care of sponsored teams and stuff like that, we have to admit it has been a season of a good show from smaller teams that nobody ever gave a chance over the years. Kukuni, are they showing their, you know, some pedigree? I think that AmaZulu have, until a few games before now, were showing a great sign of, you know, putting their name in the head. Pity that it was not a season for Stellenbosch FC this season, although Gavin Hunt is trying to say we can save the season at least towards the end.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Gavin is always going to say that. Yeah. Gavin would never gives up without a fight. I was quite amazed. I was dumbfounded, in fact, when I saw Kadodia letting him go at Durban City when the team was in the eighth position. This is a newly promoted team.
This is Kadodia, mate.
Yeah, look at what has happened as well.
This is Kadodia, we know him.
Hans' replacement didn't last longer than a tip in a cup.
Yeah.
You know, he was gone, Padella. And the man that was the technical director, he's also gone, Middendorp. But
this
anyway.
This is Kadodia, we know him.
So Gavin is definitely going to save Stellenbosch. I mean, already they've moved far away from there.
Yeah.
You mentioned Cocoon. It's a beautiful story as well.
Mm.
And we need to say and talk about these beautiful stories of black people doing great things as well. You've got a chairman who buys this club. He buys the status of the club. I have my issues about that. But nonetheless, it what happens in our league.
And it's a self-fulfilling phenomenon.
Yes.
You can't pick on Skukuni. Everybody has done it.
He buys it. It's in its sixth year of existence, Matal. That was my column this past Sunday. It's a team that has qualified for the Confed Cup before they were knocked out early.
Yeah.
Stellies has established themselves as being the part of the conversation
mm-hmm.
for the top three.
They were the top three.
Yeah. They play three finals in mm-hmm. the space of 3 years.
Yeah.
They win the Carling knockout.
Yeah.
They lose to Pirates back to back in the MTN 8. They finish third consecutive.
Yeah.
They have an amazing run in the CAF Confed Cup, losing to Simba SC of Tanzania, coached by a South African Fadlu Davids. Where
by the way, that was our last
coach.
Conversation on the podcast when they were going to meet him.
Remember?
Yeah.
And guess where Steve Barker is now?
Yeah.
He's at SC
Simba.
Tanzania, which is why Kevin Hunt is there. So Skukune, given all that is happening there, when you look at when they were established, when they bought the status, look at their craft.
Mm.
They finish, I think, in the top six. The following season, they are fifth, and the following season, they are fourth, if memory serves me well.
Yeah.
They won this top three. They contested with Stellenbosch. They were chasing. Now, Stellenbosch have got their issues. In Eric Tinkler, what do they have? They have a coach with the requisite aptitude to play top football, because you look at Tinkler with Cape Town City, winning the MTN 8 and then losing in the final, and then going as well to SuperSport United, winning a trophy there and losing another final. It's a Tinkler that has coached Orlando Pirates as an assistant to Roger Disa, going all the way to the final of the CAF Champions League in 2013, where they lose to Al Ahly. That's a sad memory for you. I'm sorry. I'm not opening old wounds.
I blame Sekgolela, but let's not go there.
Others blame other people, but this is not a commission. So in 2015, Tinkler is in charge of Pirates, and it takes them to the final of the Confed Cup.
Yeah.
He's taken SuperSport United to the final of the Confed Cup. So in terms of experience, this legend of the 1996 AFCON win for Bafana knows his shoulder from his elbow when it comes to coaching. A club like Skukune has got the kind of players that are buying into his philosophy. We are seeing Skukune knocking heavy on the door. In fact, they would have had a say, or they wanted to have a say in this championship race, holding Pirates to a draw.
They've taken 4 points. Having only two clubs have Pirates, taken 4 points from Orlando Pirates this season. Right? Them and Sundowns.
You will know. Yeah. They beat Pirates opening game.
Yeah.
They threw Pirates goalless. They came ampere. Sundowns, they lost three times.
I mean, the previous one before the last one, it was towards the end of the game when they lost
two
this
goals.
Game. Like, really.
Two goals. Right? And here
even,
again,
even
they
this
come
one,
back
even this
one,
three one
in
the
last 10
betrayed.
Minutes,
yeah.
they conceded two goals. They also lost.
But I think he likes losing to Sundowns and not liking losing to Pirates.
That's
I think
a
personal thing
that's
about
a pirate fan. That's a Pirate fan talking. I have no comment, Mr. Madlang. I have no comment. So you have to applaud. You have to applaud that effort. And again, hopefully, the chairman of Skukune is patient enough with Tinkler. Don't judge him on what happened with the Cape Town City.
Yeah.
I think that had they not let go of him, he would have found a way to save them from relegation. I think John Comitis was too quick. Others may say patient, but I think that there were, I spoke to Tinkler, there were 10, if not 12 players, new players that had come through. And there were a lot of players that had been with the club for many years since it became from Ping Mpumalanga Black Aces, that there's been no change. And also the one thing that Cape Town City lost, which they did well in their guise as Ajax Cape Town, was to become the home of the latent talent that you find, not just in Cape Town, in the entire Western Cape, which is where Stellenbosch have come in.
As we conclude on Tinkler, and you don't have to add, I know what you said about Jose Rivero and Orlando Pirates, but I dare say that Tinkler started the culture of confidence in young people at Orlando Pirates. There was a time at Pirates where you had to be almost on a cane and about to knock on Sasa, and Tinkler started saying, I'm going to give these young boys a chance. We all doubted him, but we saw the signs. So I say that what you're saying about him is so true. His confidence on young players and what he can do for them is amazing. Let's go to the bottom. Who's leaving us? Where's the end? Who's getting the end of their participation in this glorious league?
I know you said I must not add anything, but he hasn't mentioned it. So yeah. Allow me to add something there. The man they're calling the professor. He's saying for the academy, for the Pirate, he's giving you the player like the Gile Remy, the Manyatela, he's giving you the Togutoku Makanya and the Vilagashi.
Yeah.
So he did wonderful things there as well.
Which Makanya becomes what Palacios was those many years ago.
And gives to Jose. You know your Pirate. You know your Pirate. I don't know if Obit did enough to
circle the...
you stole words. You took that from my mouth. But then to augment to the stars that assisted them to gain promotion, which was a wonderful thing.
Great story.
Wonderful story. You actually beat a Cape Town City to be able to get there.
Yeah.
So I do not know whether they did enough. By the look of things, it's not looking good.
Mm-hmm.
And then maybe, just maybe, the Minister of Electricity, Sputla, has done things with ending load shedding to a point where it took away the power and the electricity from Makesi. It seems to have knocked the lights out of Makesi. Again, they are victims of their own success, in inverted commas. I mean, it's great for them to come in their first season and win a cup final.
Beating Mamelodi Sundowns and Orlando Pirates.
Going to Pirates halftime, they are leading 3-0.
Right.
And they eventually win 3-2. They go and play Sundowns in Mangaung.
Yeah.
And they beat Sundowns. Yeah. And not just by chance. Yeah. So to then go from that and then let go of Clinton Larson, who had promoted you,
mm-hmm.
and he wins this trophy in your first season.
But we've seen that script before.
We've seen the movie
times.
Before. Yeah. We hope that you're going to see people learning from those things. I mean, it's like looking at players who still throw away their talent by drinking themselves to a stupor.
Yeah, and then we have to bury them.
When there's been so many examples before.
Yeah.
I digress. So between Obit and Makesi, they are galloping for the automatic spot of relegation.
Yeah.
And one of them is going to try and survive through the playoffs, because I think that in Vusumuzi Vilakazi, Chipa United, they've got a man who has the know-how in terms of navigating and escaping the dreaded relegation X. You saw his hand when he was at Richards Bay,
mm-hmm.
and they are there now. So I, if you want me to put my neck on the block, the guillotine is not going to fall on my neck.
Yeah.
It may either, by the look of things, definitely Makesi, and then Obit may just try and save their skin.
At whose expense? At the expense of the guys from the Chili Boys, or is it going to be at the expense of somebody else who... sleeping at the bottom.
Again, if the Chili Boys escape, they escape 14 and 15 and 16, then I think Obit is going to fight with whoever is number 2 and 3 from the NFD to try and survive in the play.
I hope that would be Kazrick. Anyway, as we conclude, I'm going to do to you what you do to me every single Friday on your show when I sit on the other side. At the end of May 2026, who's lifting that cup that is called the Betway Premiership?
Simply because things are boring when they are the same. But they must not happen because we want to see a different champion. If Orlando Pirates and Coach Wadu are able to sustain the race, are able to show the improvement, they've got the makings of a title-winning side. They are getting the goals. They are able to not concede. They are able to dominate teams. If they are able to go on a run, that is going to sustain a winning streak that was there before Sundowns happened at FNB. They should be able to do so. One, can they do it with Mbokazi Kon? Two, are Sundowns able to continue getting them goals without Ribeiro? When you look at the signs, Pirates are continuing life after Mbokazi, and Sundowns are continuing life after Ribeiro, putting Brian Leon there. Yeah. But even before him, you're looking at the top scorers chart. You see a Dion from Ivory Coast, from Eros, on 9. Who's below him on 8? It is not Leon. It is Ekram Reyners.
Yeah.
From Mamelodi
Sundowns. In my view, one of the best strikers I've seen in a long time.
Insight is the best science. He should have been at AFCON. Mm-hmm. He should not have been one of the standing players. He should have been there, and we could be talking different things. But there's a World Cup coming. He keeps this form. Definitely is going to be in that plane if we are able to avoid the bombs and the terrible things that the pink men in the Oval Office and his friend there by Israel are doing.
Do you suspect you answered my question?
I told you that allow me to behave like Sphere Omkwanas. So if it is a yes or no, there shall be joy in the arena.
Barimbati, gorgeous. Matala, thank you very much. We shall replay that last line at the end of the season.
Matala, thank you. Allow me to go to Arena Holdings. There is a small matter of the Sunday Times.
Arenas are very important to Yande. Well, thank you very much for watching this episode of Taking the Rams by the Horns. We shall try to remind you at the end of May of this conversation. Please continue to subscribe. We truly appreciate that. Share and please comment on the podcast. Don't send me private messages. It's not about me. It's about this content. Like, comment right there. From me, Rems Mabote, goodbye and God bless.